It is the FTN Fast Break Podcast, Episode 9, Monday, September 9th, 2024. What is going on, everybody? Welcome in. Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawisenberg, DFS, joined, as always, by my co-host, Mike Randall, at Randall Rant. Mike, today we are jumping into an underdog NBA best ball draft, and we just jumped in. We were the last two that this draft needed, so you are second here. This draft is starting in about 30 seconds, so kind of a shotgun start for us. But coming off week one NFL, of course, meaning we are a week closer to NBA basketball. How you feeling, man?
Zach, I never get an early pick in NBA underdog best ball drafts. Never. I was so mad about it last year because obviously it gets skewed. I think I'm going to end up with Jokic, right? Because I think Wemby's going first. And if not, I'm sorry. I'm going to end up with Wemby. That's how this is going to go. We'll see what happens. But doing well, my friend.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to get into this. We've got the 101 is on the clock now. So it looks like Mike at the 2 slot. And I'm in the 12 once again. So we'll get, for those of you watching on the YouTube, the FTN Fantasy YouTube channel, we'll get a couple zooms here, bring this draft board into focus. And yeah, Jokic does go one here. But as you mentioned, that ADP has flipped on its head. Wemby now the first pick overall in terms of ADP. And of course, if you're watching this on the FTN Fantasy YouTube channel, you can see that my list of players goes by my ranks here, my top 200, free at FTNFantasy.com. But you get Wemby at 2. How you feeling about that?
Yeah, I want a big. I want an anchor big, and I'm very happy to get it. I was not able to do that last year. I did decently because I was into Chet Holmgren, and that paid off very nicely. But being able to get Wemby just feels great. I got to wait for the second pick, and I'm curious to see what you're going to do here, of course. But it feels good because typically I'm just not in this area, and I'm scrambling to try to get two bigs to try to make up for the fact that I don't have an elite, a big man inside. So it's great.
Yeah, and the 12, man, is – there's a certain type of build. I've had like, this is going to be like my fourth or fifth draft drafting from the 12 spot. And my strategy here is we've talked about on those best ball streams. Again, every Friday, you can catch those live on the FTN Fantasy YouTube and Twitter pages. You know, we've talked about the hero big build. And obviously that's what you've started out here with Wemby at 2. But if I'm not getting one of those top three bigs here, and again, Joel Embiid has now slipped to 7 in terms of ADP. You see that little grouping there. Embiid goes 7th in this draft, then Anthony Davis, then Domantas Sabonis. If you're not grabbing one of those top tier bigs, it's really trying to load up on wings for me in these drafts. And there's a little grouping of them here at the turn that I'm usually pretty satisfied with. But after those three bigs, Scottie Barnes going off the board. So I'm on deck here for two picks. And there's a group of three wings here with Paolo Banchero, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James all still on the board. So I can grab two of those guys if I want to. From the guards, there's, of course, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, Ja Morant, Trae Young, all in consideration here by the field. So 11 is Trae Young. So I'm going to get Paolo Banchero here with my first pick. Mike, I have Paolo ranked 8th. I think he's going to make another leap this year. And so I'm pretty satisfied with that. And then I get my choice of Kevin Durant or LeBron James. Which aging superstar do I want to put on this roster? I've actually got a decent amount of KD so far. So I'm going to differentiate where I have some Paolo and Kevin Durant lineups already, or teams rather, out of the 12 spot. I'm going to deviate a little bit from my rankings here and take LeBron. Again, that's something you need to do if you are maxing a contest like this with 150 teams, because you know I want to differentiate. I want to get as many teams as I can into that final round, and then, of course, have as many bites at the proverbial apple as possible, getting up to that top prize at the end of the season.
Zach, Trae Young ahead of Paolo Banchero is lunacy. I agree with you. I think Banchero takes the next step. I think this is the ascension year for him. It's a great pick, an automatic pick. Trae Young over him. That's insanity. I just ridiculous.
But I digress. In that 11 spot, right? Trae Young and Anthony Edwards. So a double guard start there. I want to keep an eye on that 11 spot and see what they do with wings, because one thing that we've been talking about in the chat during the live streams on Fridays is you don't always, of course, have to double up on your wings in the first two rounds, but getting two in your first four rounds is something that we've been trying to practice on those live streams.
Yeah, there's some names here, Zach, that I'm going to struggle to bypass. I'm going to struggle to buy. There goes Ja Morant. That makes it easier. I'm going to struggle to bypass De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. This is going to be interesting. I don't think Durant will make it to me. So we're stuck with the – I mean, Julius Randle, get out of here with wing number nine with Julius Randle.
But I know, right?
It's tough.
Right.
Because it dries up very quickly. Kawhi's going to be out the first game, of course. This is tough. This is gonna be tricky. It could be Lauri Markkanen. I don't feel great about it.
Right.
I need a wing.
I
mean, you go from Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard to Kyle Kuzma fairly quickly here. Zach.
Yeah.
it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. And all those guys, like those wings kind of in the like 35 to 45 range. You mentioned a couple names there. DeMar DeRozan's also in that group, right? Brandon Miller, who I know you're kind of high on in that bunch. I'm with you. Actually, in one of my slow drafts, when I woke up on Monday this morning, I'm on the clock and I was deciding between Brandon Miller and Jimmy Butler. And I went with Brandon Miller. I have some shares of Jimmy already, but out of those two guys, like which one has the most ceiling, right? To really take that leap this year. I think Brandon Miller's the answer.
Oh, this is going to be tough. I was hoping with Brunson, but that didn't happen. Oh my gosh.
So Mike back up on the clock now. We just saw Siakam go at 19, then Brunson at 20, Julius Randle at 21, and Chet Holmgren at 22.
I'm taking a chance here.
All right. There's De'Aaron Fox. So Mike goes De'Aaron Fox at 23. I like that pick. I mean, for me, grabbing one of these guards, right? A Fox, a Booker, a Spider Mitchell. And for me, LaMelo Ball, you know from my rankings, I'm a little bit higher on LaMelo than the field. But I think grabbing one of those guys, you did well here. You see Spider Mitchell go at the 212. Now we're into the third round. And yeah, man, I think then, right, if regardless of this pick at 3-1, you're probably trying to look for a wing here, right?
I have one in mind. Yes, thank you. I'll take Markkanen.
There you go. So.
I like him better than DeRozan. I like him better than Jalen Johnson. I like him. That's fine.
It's absolutely.
Fine. I if Brunson was still there to table tap Brunson and Fox is tricky, but then my wings are me, you, and Fast Eddie. So I can't pass on a wing there. It's fine.
Yeah, and because, again, Kawhi goes at the 3-1. Mike takes Lauri Markkanen, Devin Booker then at 27th overall, and we're pushing on through this third round. But I think that right there, your experience in these first three rounds was the perfect encapsulation of how tough it is to try to load up on some of these wings. We've seen some guys who are maybe on the wing big or wing guard fringe, and Underdog just continues to push guys, it feels like, out of the wing category. After Booker, Şengün, Zion Williamson, both of those guys, of course, classified as bigs. And then Twisted Fantasy, who's an account who's been in many drafts with us on the Friday live streams, Jason Tatum, Pascal Siakam start. Pair Stephen Curry with those two wings. So you're seeing, right, like when you're in those top two picks, getting the Joker, getting Wimby, it's fantastic. But then you're really kind of relying on the draft room to solidify those other positions here early on. And it can feel just a little bit gross.
You know who can take a big leap this year also playing in the Olympics? I think Bam Adebayo could take a huge leap. So I'm not second-guessing taking Spider-Man himself. But I wonder if, knowing that Bam was still here, if I would be better with Giannis, Fox, and Bam, or Fox, Markkanen, and Wemby. I just can't pass on Wemby. I can't
do that.
But I get it.
Well, I'm you're on the up now,
Zach.
Here.
You got back to back here. So Bam just went. DeRozan went. You have the two wings.
Mm-hmm.
Paolo and LeBron.
Paolo and LeBron. So I'm probably my next bigs in my rankings are Mobley and Karl Anthony Towns. So I think I'm going to go ahead and grab two guards here. So Tyrese Maxey is the next in my ranks. I have him ranked 33rd, ADP just over 34. So basically getting Tyrese Maxey, or the rank rather, kind of in line with his ADP, couple picks past there at picks 36. Now to start the fourth round, I've got an interesting dilemma here between Cade Cunningham and DeJounte Murray. I think it's going to be Cade for me. The field is more on DeJounte. But I don't, and I love DJ. But for me, I think, again, talking about the ceilings of these two players.
Not even close.
I don't know if I see DeJounte going into New Orleans and producing at a better rate than he did in Atlanta last year. I think it's a fairly lateral move in terms of his fantasy upside. And Cade Cunningham, if he can stay healthy and right, new coach. We've got Fred Vincent there as a shooting coach for some of his teammates, et cetera. Those other young guys take a little bit of a leap around him. Maybe some more veterans in there, right, with your Tobias Harris and the like. So Cade Cunningham was my pick there at 4.
Oh, not even – totally co-signed, Zach. Not even close to me. Cade Cunningham has the scoring – take over the game upside that I don't think DeJounte has in New Orleans. I that was an easy pick. I agree. Great call. I love your team so far.
And you can see, I said I wanted to keep my eye on that 11 spot, who went Trey and Ant Edwards with their first two picks, DeMar DeRozan, Jalen Johnson. So two guards, two wings to start there. So coming back here around in the fourth round, after Jalen Johnson, Paul George, Franz Wagner, then Kyrie Irving. So here at 42, DeJounte Murray still on the clock. And again, you see that group of wings that we were discussing a few minutes ago, just flying off the board here at the 3-4 turn and making your life a little bit tougher, maybe giving you a headache here coming back around. There goes DeJounte at 42. Can I really got, right, go? This team in the 5-hole, no wings yet. The team in the 3-hole, no wings yet, so we'll see what happens. Mike coming up here in a couple picks.
Yeah, I have some issue with Karl Anthony Towns. I his versatility, his three-point ability, and I do see the Timberwolves as a team on the rise, even though they got rid of their entire bench last year, which obviously played a factor. But yeah, there goes Miles Bridges. Oh my gosh, there's Jimmy Buckets. Huh? That's a, mm-hmm. All roads lead back to Jimmy. I need another. I'm gonna pass. Des Bane is there, who I like a lot. Also, here.
Uh-huh. We've talked about Desmond Bane. Mike on the clock now. Oh
my gosh.
McCall Bridges and Miles Bridges off the board.
So yeah, Jimmy, I would have Buckets, taken. Like you said, yes, I would have taken one of them. Oh my gosh, I'm running out of time. I'm gonna do it. I like Towns. I know it's too all big. Right. Towns can put it all together one day and make a legit run here at a serious postseason award. I know his head has to be screwed on straight and he can be in and out of games and defensively, I know, but he also can be 25-12 consistently for a significant period of time, which can really carry you in the best ball regular season.
Yeah, no question. Well, and you're coming around here for another pick. So with the 1-1-2 build, Brandon Miller and Jamal Murray go off the board. And then I see scoop up Jimmy Buckets. Yeah. That took you all of 2 seconds.
Well, that was it. I thought that was it. I thought he could be there. And yeah, I'm punting on guard a little bit. But when you take a big with your first round pick, you have to make sure to secure the wings and you have to try to piece it together with guards. At least that's what I think. I passed on him once. I wasn't going to pass on him again.
So we see Jamal Murray go off the board there at 5-1. I think that's a decent little segue to just kind of chat about his contract extension, right? 4 years, $208 million signed and reported over the weekend. And again, I don't think I have any sort of like deep analysis about this. It feels like something that Denver just kind of had to do. And again, like $200 million to average like 20 points a game. Like, I think in a vacuum, it's like a little bit of an overpay. But as we've talked about throughout this offseason, like some of these numbers, we just have to get used to. This is how the NBA is going to be. Those numbers are going to continue to rise. You know, we're a couple years removed from Mike Conley being the highest paid player in the league. So again, I just come back to the idea that this is something Denver just kind of hands tied here, had to give this extension to Jamal Murray.
I still believe in Jamal Murray, Zach. I've seen the fourth quarter on fire, unable to be stopped, hitting multiple big shots. There just aren't that many players that can take and make the big shots like he does. I'm still in the Jamal Murray corner, although he disappointed and certainly struggled in the Olympics as well. But I get it. They had to do it, and I expect a bounce back from him.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too, right? If he is healthy in those playoffs last year, does that make a difference? I think so.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be a big factor. And I guess a little bit unorthodox here, right? Typically we stick to our topics first, then kind of our format, right? Our stock up, stock down. But while we're talking about the Nuggets, and as I talk about this, I think I'm going to come up again on the clock for the 5-6 turn, but Calvin Booth, man, I'm listening to the Low Post over the weekend, like in between all of the glorious football that we had at the NFL and collegiate level this weekend. And Zach Lowe says, there are rumblings that the coaching staff and front office in Denver, or at least the head coach and the front office, aren't exactly seeing eye to eye to a degree even unusual for the NBA. So as I come up on the clock here with Maxey, Cade Cunningham, Paolo, and LeBron on the roster, what do you make of that? Because for me, again, this is a stock down for a team that is very much still in their championship window. Of course, won it all 2 years ago. This is not what you want to see.
I'm old enough to remember 3-1 OKC over Golden State. And what I mean, Zach, is the window is there, but it closes very quickly. They got their title. They completely trashed the bench. I'm sure there's some animosity there. Just based off feel, I don't think Michael Malone is the easiest guy to work with sometimes. He can be a little stubborn, but he's also a great coach. Dez Bane, great pick, by the way. Thank you. I knew that was coming. yeah, a little bit stocked down. And again, Westbrook there, hopefully can do some things. But
right.
It's rough because when these wedges start, they don't normally repair themselves. That's all.
Yeah. And like, again, I'm not surprised by this at all because letting a guy like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope walk, letting a guy like Bruce Brown walk, these are integral pieces to that championship run from 2 years ago. And replacing them with, again, these are Calvin Booth's guys, right? The kind of youth movement there with a Christian Brown, a Julian Strother, right? Colin Gillespie didn't work out. Now he's with the Suns organization. And then they also, of course, have had some bad luck this offseason with Deron Holmes tearing his Achilles in the summer league. But again, it's just bad vibes. So that was my kind of stock down on the fly here this week while we do the best ball draft.
Oh, are you? I'm hear you in my head with Chris Middleton.
Yep.
I hear yep. you there. And I'm like, if I pass on him, the Bucks are going to have a big year and I'm going to be cursing Zach the entire when Middleton is one of those 22-8-7 games like he always puts forward. Like, oh my gosh.
Well, you mentioned I took Desmond Bane to close out round 5 and then came back with the first pick of the 6th round, MPJ. So as we're talking Nuggets, adding one of the Nuggets wings there. So I have started here, no bigs through 6 rounds, 3 guards and 3 wings. Of course, those guards, Maxey, Cunningham, and Bane on the wings, Paolo, LeBron, and MPJ. And now coming around back to your team, Mike, here in the 6th round, Wemby and Karl-Anthony Towns in the middle, just De'Aaron Fox in the backcourt with Markkanen and Jimmy Buckets on the wings. So you're in the hole here. And then again, of course, going to have a second pick near the top of round 7. What are we looking at here?
I think I have to take Derek White if M1K311 doesn't take Derek White. I can't afford to go that thin in my backcourt. So that'll be my first pick. And then piece... Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. There goes Derek White.
Of course. It's one thing when that happens, when we're live streaming and we've got people listening in to who we want to pick, and they, you know, maybe just snipe us just for to be a little petty. But we're just recording this. We're not live and getting sniped here, there out of the three spot. So I see you went OG Anunoby, again, solidifying the wings there. And minutes should certainly not be a problem for
that's
OG.
That was the reason. Yeah, now I need to load up my guards. Oh, this is...
So a couple of the top guards by ADP, right? RJ Barrett, Devin Vassell, Darius Garland, Zach LaVine. From my ranks here, Mike, my pick would be Darius Garland, but then you're tugging at my heartstrings with Devin Vassell. I see you go Garland. So
I was taking him. I was my pick, and I wanted you to finish your set. And then if you said Garland, I was clicking it. Yes.
Good. Nice. I love it. I like it. So we are heading into the middle of the seventh round here. Again, these underdog best ball drafts, 16 rounds. So again, if you want to practice your drafting along with us, 1 p.m. Eastern every Friday between now and the beginning of the season, FTN Fantasy YouTube and Twitter pages, we get at least one draft. Mike, I don't know if you saw, we were live for 3 hours on Friday because there was an hour gap where we could not fill a draft to save our lives. So that was it was a marathon of a stream, but it was a lot of fun.
That's so funny. I did not get a chance to watch the stream. I know you're up there. I retweeted it, and then I just got caught up doing all the stuff for the NFL prep, and we had the game on Friday. That is 3 hours. You are the man.
we bloviated for about an hour in between drafts, just waiting, talking hoops. We were breaking down a couple, again, the FTN fantasy community. When we can sit here and talk hoops at the beginning of September, of course, we're going to do it on a Friday afternoon. We pulled up a couple depth charts talking about rotations and things like that.
Wow, awesome.
Getting into the nitty gritty.
We were talking today in the ops call about all the great stuff we have planned for NBA, all the charting, and we said, let's just get settled here for a couple weeks. And then we really have to start, you know, pumping out and showing everyone the great stuff that we have planned for the NBA season, which, of course, Zach is the Geppetto of our NBA content.
Yeah, and I can feel that too, where like I'm sitting over here chomping at the bit to get started, to get basketball on everybody's minds. And I know the majority of FTN, right, so focused on football, as we should be. And everybody like, just give me a break for a week or two, then we'll talk basketball. I'm sitting over here.
It's crazy. We had two DFS subs hit 100K yesterday.
Yeah.
So things are going very well. And it's just, you know, you got to get through the first week and then it gets on autopilot. You know what I mean? You go through each week. And so we're in the throes of it right now, but it's going very well. You are coming up here, my friend. Three guards, three wings. The question is, will you take a big? That or are you going to punt it for another round, around 9 and 10?
I got to tell you, Mike, I do not like this situation right here. I'm not a huge fan of taking Nick Claxton because I do think he could be rested down the stretch, but the bigs getting very sparse here. I think I'm going to continue to experiment here, kind of like similar to a zero RB build, right? If we're drafting NFL best ball, I'm going to go zero big here and really commit. We're going to go Austin Reeves. I think that is my first Austin Reeves share here of the season. Certainly going to get a little bit of a bump if LeBron misses any time there. And then we're sitting here on the wing, and that's looking a little bit tough too. John Collins, Jeremy Grant, Trey Murphy III, Oscar Thompson, my guy Trayce Jackson-Davis. And I think I'm going to continue to build my Trayce Jackson-Davis portfolio. I'm taking him about 20 picks ahead of ADP here, but the fact that he's got that wing eligibility, I know I've been preaching this on the Friday streams as well, potential starting center here for the Golden State Warriors, either he or Draymond. And I just love the fact that I can slot him in as a wing. Again, you need to start two wings every game week. Two guards, two wings, a big, and a flex is your score, are your positional categories for every scoring week here. So you see Jeremy Grant, Jaime Jaquez Jr., the ADP on him just skyrocketing over the last couple weeks. And I get it, speculation that he may have secured a starting spot here headed into training camp. So that's a situation that I definitely have my eye on.
What's your thoughts on Hartenstein or OKC? I'm just looking ahead of my next pick.
Yeah, man, I get it. I see him right? Another guy, ADP coming up right at 108.9 right now. It's really tough for me to take Hartenstein over some of the starters that are being drafted in this area. I mean, you see it on the screen here if you're watching on YouTube. Nurkic, JVal, Mark Williams, Derek Lively, Zach Edey, Ivica Zubac, Brooke Lopez, all centers that I have ranked above Isaiah Hartenstein. And then right there with Hartenstein, also Jakob Poeltl. I think I would rather have almost all of those guys over Hartenstein at this point, just because he's not a starter. Like, and especially with my current build, with no bigs, like, I need starters. I need minutes. So he's probably not one that I'm considering when I come back around here on the 9-10 turn.
The other one I'm asking about is Scoot. I mean, we're both high on Scoot coming into this year. He's lurking right around the Josh Hart, Tyler Hero area. It's going to be very tough for me to pass on Tyler Hero if he's there, but that's one of my guys, like you
and
said.
I think Tyler Hero probably, I have him two spots lower than Scoot in my ranks, but I think certainly the safer pick at the moment, considering the idea that, and this is something we were discussing on the live stream on Friday with a couple members of the FTN community, is Scoot may not start the season as the starting point guard for Portland, right? You can run Simons and Sharp and Avdija and Grant and Ayton, and boom, there's your five. I still lean towards that they probably will start Scoot, but it's far from a certainty. And so again, certainly more safe there. I see you grab Tyler Hero there without much delay at pick 8-11. So that gives you, Mike, right, three guards, three wings, two bigs. So very balanced here through eight rounds. Are you feeling a little bit better about this than you were a couple?
Little rounds better, ago? Yes. If you can't guess my next pick, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Okay, Middleton is gone. Let me see the board.
I'll wait.
Hey, is it gonna? Is it Scoot?
Nope.
Auster Thompson.
No, right church, wrong pew.
PJ Washington.
Attaboy.
There we go. Third time's the charm. All right. I like it. Oh, so what's the PJ Washington, Auster Thompson, Jeremy Sochan, first overall pick, Zachary Richache, kind of the top wing still available at that pick. What's the differentiator there for PJ?
The differentiator for me is I do think Washington is ascending. I've always been a fan of his. I don't think he's just a stationary shooter from the corner. I think his defensive prowess is going to get him more involved in the team. And I'm looking for players now. I'm trying to build, specifically my wings, high floor players, because I don't have the elite. I mean, marketing, I guess, to a certain extent. Butler can when he's playing. So with OG, who's a stats sheet stuffer, PJ Washington, I want high floor players to short of, you know, my dips and my weeks that I can make it through. That's the rationale there.
So Modest Buzelis is the next guy I want to talk about. He just was selected at pick 101 overall. That's right around where his ADP is hovering, about 20 spots higher than I have him ranked, Mike. What are your thoughts on Buzelis? Because I'm down on him at this ADP. We had a lengthy discussion about this on Friday's live stream. Our buddy UNC, who again is more than 100 drafts in already, he's all over Buzelis at this ADP. I'm just a little hesitant because while I am a believer in Modest, right? Like thinking back to our draft coverage in the summer, like I thought Dalton Connect at 17 maybe covered up some of the potential value that I saw or that anybody could see in Buzelis dropping all the way to Chicago. But talk about guys who I don't think are going to start. I think the Buzelis role on this team could be pretty small through the first half of the season. So he's somebody I'm staying away from. How do you feel about Buzelis?
No, he's banking on the bank is on an upside, is that we saw that window of what he can do, and maybe he can find a niche and get some regular minutes. It's a dart throw that hopefully could pay off later in the season. But yeah, that's a couple injuries, comes in, starts giving you a couple threes a game, rebounds, variety of things, and just creating on the floor. That's what that is. You have two picks.
If he starts to slip a little bit in terms of his ADP, then I'm going to be picking up some Buzelis shares. But where he's at right now, right, ninth, 10th round, it's just a little rich for my blood. So I'm up on the clock here. I did get Derek Lively here with my first pick on the turn, and it's going to be Ivica Zubac as my second. So picking up two bigs here, other guys in consideration right there, especially by ADP, right? Zach Edey would be the pick right here. In terms of ADP, Mark Williams ranked the highest of these remaining bigs for me, but because of that, again, Mark Williams ranked 104 for me, ADP of 118. You can probably tell I've got some Mark Williams in the portfolio already. So again, differentiating a little bit here out of the 12 spot, Derek Lively, Ivica Zubac, my first two bigs in rounds 9 and 10. And now we're headed back your direction.
I only had him last year because you were talking about him so much. That's what happened.
Yeah, the Mark Williams.
Mark Williams. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, God. He let me down. He was my highest drafted player last year. And I think probably a big reason why it was the first year in the last four that I had no teams advance to the finals, unfortunately.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I did see one of our subscribers, I believe it was Mo, who said he got to the finals and finished, I believe, top 20. In the tournament based off my ranks. So that was a nice little consolation for me in what was a down year.
100%. You can't be great every year, my friend. Even Belichick lost once in a while.
Well, what was, I think, a consolation for me as well was the fact that because of the way the payout structure was last year, I advanced enough teams to the playoff rounds to profit on the tournament, but then all my teams flamed out there in like the second and third rounds of the knockout. And again, reminder to those of you who are entering the double dribble this year, different structure. We've got just the regular season. It's 17 weeks and then a 6-week postseason. So no more multiple rounds of playoffs, just one playoff round and scoring every single week. So something to factor in. It's something that I will dive deeper into in my first edition of the Best Ball Diary, which should be out later this week at ftnfantasy.com.
Zach, I know Josh Hart is not projected to start, but I do feel he slipped a little bit here. Where do you have him? He's not going to make it to me, but where do you have him in your ranks?
Yeah, I think right around this. So there he goes right there. This timely mention from you there. I believe in my ranks, he's right around, you know, late one teens here, kind of where he went in this draft. And I think it's encouraging to see him go in the middle of the 10th, because again, what, 3 weeks ago when you and I first started talking about ADPs that we liked or guys that we thought were overvalued, Josh Hart was one of the guys we brought up first as being overdrafted. I think his ADP 3 weeks ago was in the 80s. So now to see him going pick 114 overall, I think that's an encouraging sign for potentially getting some Josh Hart later on during draft season as some of these ADPs start to normalize a little bit. I would have loved to grab him here in the 10th round if I was guard needy.
Clay or Jaden Ivey? Oh, well, that solves it.
You're going to make it easy for you here. Another guy that I have, probably one of my highest, maybe top three drafted players, is Chris Paul. I've got him ranked 112.
He's
136 ADP. So somebody you can certainly, both of us, if we were trying to grab some CP3 here, we could probably wait on that another round or so.
I'm taking him now.
All right, you take him from me. All right.
he was the other guy. And then I just looked down the ADP list. And if you can't guess my next player, I will be very disappointed.
Is it going to be Tari Eason?
No, it's not.
Let's
see. It's a little bit down on the list.
Okay, I'll sort by ADP here. Let's see.
I mean, this is the quintessential my guy.
Okay, it's going to be Russ.
I was going to do Russ. I took Jalen Suggs.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Okay. That was it. I was going to take Russ and Jalen Suggs, but then I saw Chris Paul and I said, I think I need that because outside of De'Aaron Fox, I'm a little weak with guards.
Yeah. I just needed one more click on the scroll on my mouse here. Would have shown Suggs. Yeah. So checking in on the team so far. Again, Mike's drafting here out of the two spots. Still got Wimby and Carl Anthony Towns in the middle. Guards, De'Aaron Fox, Darius Garland, Tyler Hero, Chris Paul, Jalen Suggs. Backcourt really coming together. Lauri Markkanen, Jimmy Butler, OG Anunoby, and PJ Washington on the wings. So again, now we start to get into these later rounds, right? Like round 11, 12 is where you really start to take some shots on guys, right? This is where I feel a lot better if I'm going to deviate from ranks, deviate from ADP, and really go and try to get my guys, right? If you disagree with something in the ranks, go ahead in these later rounds, grab your guys. Like, right, I'd rather somebody take a chance on somebody they, I'm trying to think of players, right? Like, we've talked at length about the Brooklyn guys, right? The Jazz guys, the Blazers guys, these like fifth, sixth, seventh guys in the rotation who could be in much bigger roles later on in the season, or maybe just some younger guys on some middling teams. Like, right around here is where I would love to draft a Modest Bouzelis. 11th round, 12th
exactly, 100%.
9th round, too much for me.
You take a shot on Dalton Connect in a couple rounds also. I mean,
exactly, later on. And he's one, again, right, 15th, 16th round that there is a ceiling there for a bigger, right? I want the upside for all my players in the late rounds where if something changes, and again, I don't want to just blindly fire on these players. I want to construct a narrative in my head that makes at least a little bit of sense.
100%.
Pathway for these players in late rounds to get larger roles for their teams and be a guy that can get up into the top six scoring players on your roster, right? Because otherwise, it's just depth for the sake of depth. You need guys who are going to be able to give you scores to compete at the top of these leagues. And here I am back on the clock. A number of my favorite players in these rounds, Stephon Castle, Shaedon Sharpe, Tyus Jones, all going off the board. I obviously, again, still need to reinforce my big position with just Lively and Zubac there. I think I can. Well, again, I'm thinking about you being in the two hole there and having to kind of maybe plan out like who's that guy in the one slot going to take. I'm, of course, in the 12 spot, so I don't have to battle anybody here. Tari Eason is my first pick there. And then in terms of bigs, Brook Lopez, Alex Saar, Bobby Portis, Daniel Gafford. Gafford out of there for me. I've already got Lively. I'm not going to pair those two guys together. Alex Saar, right? Maybe going to see a decent amount of time closer to the end of the season. But for me here, it's Brook Lopez. And I don't – this is another one of the guys that just – drastic differences between where I have him ranked 119 and where his ADP is at almost 142. I know Brook Lopez took a bit of a step down last year and it was overall kind of a disaster season for the Bucks. Again, this is a team that is pretty much championship or bust, despite what Giannis may want to tell you at the end of a year.
Yeah.
But getting Brook Lopez as my third big in the 12th round, I feel pretty darn good about that. Again, I'm trying to accumulate guys who are going to play minutes, who can produce at a efficient rate in terms of their fantasy points per minute. Brook Lopez still profiles as a guy that can get that done, especially early in the season. Putting him with Zubac and Derek Lively, I'm liking the way this team is panning out.
Yeah, very much so. What do you think the path is for Donovan Clingan? I want there to be a path for Donovan Clingan. So that I'm leading the witness. Go ahead.
I love Donovan Clingan here, 12th round or later. Another one of those guys that we had lengthy discussions on. Again, when we were talking about Scoot and potentially coming off the bench to start the year, we also dovetailed into Clingan discussion. And kind of the consensus among those of us in the chat on Friday was, this is one of the best picks at the position in the late rounds that you can find because, again, Portland, I see no path to them being like hanging around the play-in in February and March. Right. So you would think that not only will they probably be shopping guys like Jeremy Grant, like DeAndre Ayton, maybe even a couple other pieces. They don't have a ton of veteran guys. But you would think that Donovan Clingan towards the end of the year really going to be taking on a larger role. And if Ayton gets traded or shut down in these playoff rounds, Donovan Clingan could be a league winner here as your third big, especially, right? You took Wemby and Cat early on. If we're talking about high upside swings as a third big here, Clingan, it's hard to beat Donovan Clingan, I think, for the upside, especially at the end of the year. And that's what you're looking for out of a third big, right? When you've got those two guys that you took early on, you're probably not going to get a big down here that's going to contribute in the first few months. But end of the season, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he should get playing time. And if he produces anywhere near what he did in the summer league, be very impressed, and he'll be a critical part of this roster, and we'll get in that lineup, especially at the end of the year when you need it. That's the key balance. I like him.
But do you just grab Saar if he falls, right? Like, Alex Saar available here at pick 143, ADP of 133. I've got him ranked 125 because he may not start the year for the Wizards, similar to Klingon, but I think just like, to me, a clearer path to playing time for Alex Saar because he can play at the four and the five. And I see you grab Klingon here, but what are your thoughts on that with Alex Saar? Because, I mean, this guy's ADP has fallen about 30 spots over the last month. So everybody passing on Alex Saar.
Oh, he's still there.
I know.
That would be my fourth big.
Which doesn't feel necessary with Wimby and Cat, right? Like, because you only need one big per week. I like the cool about you. So, yeah. Right, you stay with the Wizards. You kind of get some of that tank action.
Yeah, and Koulibaly obviously had the injury at the end of last year, but is a player who could make a huge leap forward. Showed some offensive ability, some upside during this key part of the year. He comes back healthy, another year under his belt, could play both early and late. That's why I took him, and I needed a fifth wing. And you're right, I don't know how much Saar is going to get in my lineup with Wemby, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Klingon.
Yep. I mean, I've picked up three bigs in the last four rounds, right? I've got Lively, I've got Zubac, I've got Brook Lopez. If Alex Saar is still available to me at the end of this 13th round, I will be scooping him up as a fourth big. And I'm trying to take a look here, right, at guard. I've kind of negated guard. The last one I took was Austin Reeves at pick 84. We're going to be in the late 150s here when I'm back on the clock, and some of the top guard options. This is one thing with the guards. This gets very sparse towards the end of the draft. Again, in terms of looking for those guys that can actually end up in your top six score, right? Your top two guards or a flex. Ben Mathurin, Alex Caruso, Caris LeVert, Buddy Hield, some of the top guards available. Io DeSumo by ADP.
Boy, Alex Caruso is one of those guys that you're not going to feel great about taking, but could absolutely help you get positive in your investment, no doubt.
Oh boy, Ben Simmons at pick 152. He is undrafted right now. Mike, I don't think you're insane for taking him as a last round guy, but here in the 13th, that's it's a little bit rosy, I think. No chance. Yeah. Alex Saar does go off the board at 153, then Onyeka Okongwu. So I am now on the clock after Bobby Portis goes. So I want to grab at least one guard here. And I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and take Ben Mathurin, because you talk about a guy, if he can stay healthy, right? Dealt with the shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. If he gets hot for a week, he could absolutely end up in your top two guards or a flex spot on any given scoring week.
I thought you were going to take Cam Whitmore. I had a feeling you'd take Cam Whitmore. That was
so I would be considering him, but the fact that I already have Tari Eason in the fold, that's going to keep me from grabbing Cam Whitmore. You can see him; he's my top ranked guy that's left on the board at 134. And I am going to grab another wing here. This is a guy that I've been loading up on. I have no issue grabbing him here. This is just one spot above where I have him ranked, but about nine spots ahead of ADP. We talk about teams that we think are going to be tanking later on. Noah Clowney at pick 157. That is my sixth guard. So sitting here with two rounds to go, we're into the 14th round now. My guards, Tyrese Maxey, Cade Cunningham, Desmond Bane, Austin Reeves, Ben Mathurin, wings of Paolo, LeBron, MPJ, Trayce Jackson-Davis, Tari Eason, Noah Clowney, and my bigs, Derek Lively, Ivica Zubac, and Brook Lopez. Definitely going to consider a fourth big.
That's what my question was. That was my question, is would you feel comfortable going with three, or do you think you need a fourth? Yep.
Yeah. And the pick there, I think some people might argue that you see Draymond Green go right after my Clowney pick. That's a pretty strong pick at that point. I think, right, if you're looking for a fourth big, you know Draymond's going to be out there, at least for the first few months of the season. He's going to fill up the box score on certain nights. If he gets hot, he can certainly be in your top six scorers. But I do have Trace Jackson Davis in my wing, so I did not want to pair those two guys together. So again, just some things that you're thinking about roster construction wise, picking up teammates. There's some teammates I'm okay pairing, some I'm just trying to stay away from. And I guess that would lead me to this question. How do you feel, maybe off the top, you probably haven't done as much thinking about this as I have over the last month, Mike, but how do you feel about handcuffing bigs? The one guy that really stands out to me with that strategy is Joel Embiid, picking him up in the first round, and then in the later rounds, grabbing a guy like Andre Drummond. How do you feel about that? Because again, I know handcuffing more of a fantasy football type of idea, but I think there are certain bigs, especially when you're grabbing like, again, that hero big type of build, where it may make some sense. What do you think about that? And are there any other pairings that you can think of off the top of your head?
Last year, I handcuffed Gafford and Lively. It was a mistake. And the handcuffing strategy I use for all the sports, I'm going to handcuff an early investment because the majority of our points are going to come from the first few picks. That's true of any fantasy draft. Sure, you can find someone later in the draft, but that's where your core is coming from. If I'm investing early draft capital in a player and rostering them, I'm going to handcuff them. I love it, and I will do it every single time, but only with certain players. I'm not going to handcuff two players, two bigs, who both play equal amount of time because I feel you're losing out on other value. I'd rather... you go with a fantasy football comparison, I'd rather just take either Dobbins or Edwards and hope that I'm right than take both of them and miss out on someone else. I've taken both of them from time to time, but only when I passed on that position. Here in double dribble, it's a little different. You're going to invest early in a big. You need to make sure that you handcuff them just in case because you can't afford to lose that player.
And again, I think that... right to your point, like a Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, as you're on the clock here, so I'll let you focus in on your picks. Like, I think some good comparisons in terms of some NBA front courts like that, maybe like a Clint Capella and Onyeka Okongwu, right? A Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford, a Trace Jackson Davis and Draymond Green, a Karl Anthony Towns and a Naz Reid, right? You probably don't want to put both of those guys on the same roster, but to me, Embiid is the one example kind of in his own tier, because not just the risk factor there of losing Embiid and not having anybody competent to back him up, but the fact that we know that Andre Drummond, even if his minutes were fairly limited in a starting role, we know how productive he is when he does get those minutes. So that's really the one shining example for me. And I think the other would probably be Wemby. And then Zach Collins in the 16th round, if you really wanted to handcuff him there. But again, Embiid and Drummond to me is the one that really stands out.
You know, Steven Adams.
Your boy,
I know. Because he can be so efficient. He's on the floor. Yeah. An injury happens. I know. It was my fourth big. It's my last big.
And maybe Alperen Şengün, Steven Adams, comes into that conversation because I've seen some people. I know Şengün went in round three in this draft, but I have seen Şengün go in the late second round, and I don't hate that 15th, 16th round of handcuffing that either. Another pick I wanted to highlight here, coming out of the eighth spot, Phillips Mag is the username here, takes Carlo Matkovich in the 14th round. And that is probably a name that most casual NBA fans have not heard. New Orleans Pelicans, big man. They signed him to a deal during the summer league, produced very well in the summer league. They've had his rights for at least two seasons now. And you look at that front court, Zion Williamson, Daniel Tice, Ves Misi, Carlo Matkovich. I don't know if Ves Misi is ready to play NBA minutes next year, Mike. So I think Matkovich, I don't know if I'm reaching on him in the 14th round as Phillips Mag did here. But that is a player that is going to be in my ranks come this Friday, because that's one of those guys we were dissecting the Pelicans depth chart, talking about the guards dovetailed into the front court. I think Matkovich is a very interesting late round pick.
Yeah, 6'10", 6'11", 231 pounds. He's 2 years, like you said, after being drafted, but the international stats are good, and there is a path. There is an absolute path that he could see the floor on that team and have some scoring opportunities, given he's playing alongside Zion. So love it. Yeah, a little early, but if you feel strongly about him, you get your guy.
Cam Whitmore goes at pick 175. So that's pretty darn good value relative to my rank here, Mike. I mean, I've got him in the 130s. Yeah. So Cam Whitmore, mid 15th round. Coming up to my final two picks. And again, I want to grab one guard here since I just have five so far. There is one guy left on the board. I'll say two, but there's one that I really want to grab here as a late round flyer with potential for big time minutes down the stretch. That is Bub Carrington. Alex Caruso can be my consolation prize. And I'm sure now that I've mentioned that, both of those guys going to go in these two picks before I'm up on the board, but we'll see. And there's also a big that I'm pretty interested in here, De'Ron Sharp. I will make an exception here. Noah Clowney, De'Ron Sharp, typically guys I would not pair. Not too dissimilar from Trayce Jackson-Davis, Draymond Green. I think both of those guys could be starting for the Nets down the stretch of this season. But with this build, right, where I didn't take a big until round 9 or 10, fine to pair De'Ron Sharp and Noah Clowney here. I am going to get one of those guards, so that feels good. I'm really hoping it's Bub Carrington because, again, I feel like Bub Carrington is a guy that in March I could see being in one of my weekly scoring lineups here. I get my choice between he and Caruso. So Caruso, the safer pick by far in terms of minutes. You would think he's going to start at the two in place of Josh Giddey for the Thunder this season, but it's going to be Bub Carrington as the final pick of the 15th round for me. And then I'm going to grab De'Ron Sharp as well. And I'm passing up a lot of wings that I have my eyes on in these late rounds. Ron Holland, Khalil Ware, Brandon Clark, Nikola Jovic, Delano Banton, and Jalen Wilson. Another one of those Nets that I've been loading up on here in the 15th and 16th round. So my draft ends 6-6-4. We're still in the 16th, headed back to Mike there with the penultimate pick of this draft. But I finished 6-6-4. Guards, Tyrese Maxey, Cade Cunningham, Desmond Bain, Austin Reeves, Ben Mathurin, and Bub Carrington. Wings of Paolo, LeBron, MPJ, Trayce Jackson-Davis, Tari Eason, and Noah Clowney. Four big build, Derek Lively, Ivica Zubac, Brooke Lopez, and De'Ron Sharp. Not my favorite draft that I've done so far this preseason, but far from my worst here, Mike.
No, and I'm looking for the six guard. I just feel better with the 6-6-4 build, especially when I take a big early. So four is fine. I'm looking at, I mean, the players I have in my queue, I had James Wiseman just to have him there. But with Indiana, of course, the question is the role. How effective can he be? Caleb Martin coming off the bench, but really no high ceiling there. TJ McConnell, who you know I love, and Lu Dort, of course. Lu Dort's going to start. He's going to have games with zero. He's going to have games with four threes, but is always going to fill the stat sheet. And McConnell just needs to find a way to get on the floor. The problem is sometimes it doesn't happen.
Yeah, no question. A lot of these picks, right? Like maybe some of these guards were guys that you were hoping fell to you here. Yep. Grady Dick, Julian Strother, Andrew Nembhard in the 16th round is not that value either. So looking at what some of these other teams have done, right? I was keeping an eye on that 11 spot. They end up with four bigs as well. Triple J, Rudy Gobert, Bobby Portis, Draymond Green. You see Vince Williams on that team as well. That's a strong team. Twisted Fantasy out of the sixth spot, who, again, we've drafted with a ton on stream. Jason Tatum, Pascal Siakam, Jabari Smith, Amen Thompson, Auster Thompson. We got a Thompson team there in the sixth spot, Mike. Rishashe, Kelly Oubre, they go Caruso at pick 187. Then Kelly Olynyk, Nick Richards off the board, and Mike on deck after MK311 finishes out their draft. So Mike on the clock here, looking for that last guard. De'Anthony Melton went off the board, shaking his head. Lu Dort. Another one I probably should have seen coming, right? Probably should have seen that coming.
Very good. Excellent.
So we'll take a look at Mike's team before we go ahead and get out of here. 6-6-4 build. So both of us with the 6-6-4s here on a Monday. De'Aaron Fox, Darius Garland, Tyler Hero, Chris Paul, Jalen Suggs, Lu Dort, at the guard on the wings, Lauri Markkanen, Jimmy Butler, OG Anunoby, PJ Washington, Bilal Coulibaly, and Obi Toppin. Four bigs, Victor Wembanyama, Karl-Anthony Towns, Donovan Klingon, and Steven Adams. How are you feeling about that team now that we're, I mean, that was shotgun start. We jump in to start the podcast. The draft goes right away. How are you feeling about this one?
Not bad, but if I had to do it all over again, I'd probably pass on Wemby. I can't believe I'm saying that. To grab Giannis, because yep. I think I like the Giannis Fox Bam build a little better than, I don't know. Yeah, that Wemby Fox and marketing. It all depends on marketing, how marketing does this year with after getting the bag.
And it's like, I need to start two wings every week too, right? So like locking in Giannis to one of those spots can feel like maybe makes you feel a little bit extra secure in that build. That's one thing. Another one of the differences between my ranks, it's not a huge one, but between my ranks and the ADP right now is I have Giannis at 3, Luka at 4. Those are also flip-flopped in those spots. And that is something that my buddy Mike Weisberg, who was joining us on stream 2 weeks ago, he made that same argument about taking Giannis at 2. So I totally get that. And again, something that we'll play around with if you are, like myself, drafting 150 teams here this preseason. You've got some buffer room to mess around with different builds. Sure. Like these. So anything else for you here, Mike, before we shut it down? Our longest fast break episode to date with this draft here. And I think maybe jumping into some season-long mock drafts next week.
Yeah, for sure. No, this was good. It got my feet wet. And I am excited to get that first pick because I want to have you don't want to have a share of Wemby, certainly, when the season starts. So I'm happy with it. And I love your team. I love your team better than mine.
Yeah, well, I think you did a good job tying that together, especially at the wing, right? Being able to get Jimmy in the fifth, OG, high floor, high ceiling type of guys. It was a good draft, man. We'll see how it plays out. Well, of course, on Underdog, right? If you haven't signed up yet, this is a good chance to remind anybody. If you haven't signed up at Underdog yet, right now, promo code FTN at sign up gets you a 100% deposit match bonus up to $1,000. Mike, I think in my tenure here at FTN, on 4 or 5 years now, that is one of the best offers we have seen 100%. From any of these sites. And if you sign up with that promo code, not only do you get that deposit match bonus, you'll get a special discounted pick to use with their Pick'em product as well, which of course we cover here at FTN Fantasy. We have the Pick'em tool on the site. We have the Pick'em Games channel in the FTN Fantasy Discord. So if you haven't signed up yet at Underdog, promo code FTN, get in there right now, and then join the Discord with us here at FTN Fantasy. Come talk Pick'em Games. That'll do it for us here on episode 9 of the FTN Fast Break podcast. We will be back next Monday. Again, probably looking into some season-long NBA content, maybe talking ESPN, maybe talking Sleeper. Hope to see you all back here then. And don't forget to join me on the FTN Fantasy YouTube and Twitter pages Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern, doing some more live Underdog best ball drafts. It's a blast. It's the best way to start your weekend. And again, starting to mix in some of that basketball talk into your brain, right? Into your sports brain, mix it around in there. College football, MLB playoffs coming up, NHL preseason, and of course, NFL. It's a great time to be here at FTN Fantasy.
Zach, I'm going to go finish my work and put the stream on for 3 hours. I should have watched it before we came on here.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And you can find those replays here on the FTN YouTube page and Twitter page. And of course, on mine and Mike's Twitter feed, I'm at Koweisenberg DFS. Mike is at Randall Rant. Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody. We'll do the same. We'll see you back here on Monday. Until then, he's Mike and I'm Zach. Goodbye. Thank you.